Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio here at LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so as we get into the Word of God. So if you would, go ahead and get some pencil and pieces of paper so that you could take notes. And at the end of the ministry, if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make, we would like to go ahead and give you the opportunity to share so that the iron can sharpen iron and we can all grow thereby. So if you would, just join your hearts with me now in a word of prayer as we get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your Word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your Spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place because of your Word, your Spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living Word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence, where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to get back into living your greater life in God, part six. and I'm trying to bring this to a summation. But I find that every time I go and open it up, study it a little bit more, prepare for what God would say, it keeps expanding because we were designed to live by the created power of the inspired image of God. His plan was always for us to live by his Spirit, by his Word, and by his love. And he tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that these three agree as one. So it would be wise for us to align ourselves with the Word, with the Spirit, and with his love. As we do that, then we move ourselves further into not only the plan of God and the love of God, but the experience that he's waiting for us all to participate in. Enoch did that, if you would, and the Bible says that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then when God was pleased to the point that the testimony was understood by people that were around him. See, if we give ourselves high fives, if we give ourselves praise in the spirit, that's not a good testimony. The testimony has to be when other people see your good works and they glorify God. When other people see your stand and they continue to glean from that stand the victory that's in Christ Jesus, then God is pleased because faith was exerted. Faith was lived out. See, notice again that Enoch did not have this testimony that he visited in the spirit. He had this testimony that he walked with God. See, when Jesus comes back, the activating force that's going to cause Jesus to come back is not going to be his compassion for us, even though that's great. It's not going to be because we begged and pleaded and we were so tired of being here. The reason that Jesus is going to move, the Bible says, is because we're going to look just like him. That as he is, so are we in this world. And when we look like them, then he gets up. You do remember that when Stephen was stoned, we have the account in the book of Acts that Jesus stood up because Stephen was acting like, looking like, responding like Jesus. They were throwing stones at the man, hitting him with rocks and boulders, if you would. And then he began to say, well, it's going to be over in just a minute. And he said, Lord, receive my spirit. And then Jesus came back and reminded him of what he had just told him before he left. He said, whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And then you hear Stephen say, Lord, don't hold this against them. Don't lay this to their charge. And then after he said that, the Bible says he gave up the ghost. See, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Jesus saw the heart and position of his actions, and then Jesus stood up. That's the only time that we see in the New Testament where Jesus is standing. He stood up to receive the Son of God that was operating as a son, not the Son of God that was operating as a master, operating in rebellion. Because if we can just kind of look at it and see, if Stephen had decided that he was not going to forgive, that he was going to harbor unforgiveness in his heart, there would have been no stand that Jesus could take. He would have had no need for an action. Because when we respond correctly, God then moves. God then has an action. He's not just one that's having or giving reaction. It's not called the book of reacts. It's called the book of the Acts of the Apostle. And when you sow a seed in the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See? So it's not a reaction, if you would. It is a confirmation, an affirmation of what you did being seen by God, and therefore God moves by his promise, by his word, by his spirit. Okay? So then as we get into the last days, please know that the same thing it took to start is going to be the thing that it takes to bring to pass the finish of it. See, we have been operating as if God is waiting to do a new thing. And he is doing a new thing to the people that have not seen him or do not understand him. But for the ones that know him, they're going to see him do what he promised. That's not a new thing, is it? If he promised it, he's already taken the time to work it out in the spirit. He's already taken the time to make sure that it flows according to his plan, his promise, and his purpose. See? Because the Bible says that every word of God is tried seven ways. So then before, just so that we get this, before we can apply any pressure to the word, it has already been proven seven different ways. That's why he can give us information that's guaranteed to work, because he's already worked it. See, God's not up there guessing, hoping, and wishing. He's already proved the thing. Jesus has come and said to us, it is finished. Why would he say that? Because God said to us, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him, in whom has already worked out, walked out the things that I've told him to do, and I'm pleased with what he did. Hear him. Follow him. See? I mean, we're not trying to make this stuff up as we go. We simply have to follow the path that's already been laid out. See, God wants us to live in the creative power of the inspired image of God. And that requires that we look unto him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 says it this way. Wherefore, seeing you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Did it say, let us run with patience the race that we are making up, conjuring up? It said, no, let us run with patience the race that's already there, that's already been completed. See, a lot of times we want to create or get God to do that new thing that we've heard about, rather than doing the thing that's guaranteed to work, and let it be new to us. Let it be a revelation that's new to us. Let it be the thing that we build upon, line upon line, precept upon precept. That God that made the promise will not fail in the promise. That he that gave promise is faithful to perform it. See, we don't give him an opportunity a lot of times to perform what he said. We would rather he perform what we want. Okay? I mean, we try to control and manipulate everything else. When things don't go the way that we like them, we go to augmenting the word of God, adding to the word of God, taking away from the word of God. See, and that's not what he wants to bless. He wants to bless his word. He wants to come and find us abiding in his word, believing in his word. So then he would have the ability to display the manifold wisdom, which is supposed to be displayed by the church of God. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 3. See? Starting around verse 10, going through verse 20, when he says, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, because the wisdom of God is supposed to be made manifest. Let's slow down and get that. It says the wisdom of God is supposed to be made manifest, brought to bear, if you would, by through us, the church. See? It's not supposed to be we're trying to prove what we love for God to do and show off on what God is doing for us because it's just time for him to move. No, we're supposed to make manifest the wisdom of God while we are those that endure to the end. That's the one that's going to be delivered, he said. See? But when we happen to love our life unto death, then we won't do what he says because we think we've gone through enough pain, we paid enough dues, therefore we should get the reward now. Well, did you endure to the end? And enduring to the end was not specifically talking about a time frame. It was specifically talking about having done all to stand there for. See? Stand in the clothes that caused the whole armor of God to be displayed. See, if you're going to stand there for, then you don't have to try to move from there, do you? Come on, y'all. If my job is to stand, therefore, having on the right clothes, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, if I'm going to stand there, then I don't prepare myself for running to the next place, do I? Amen. I mean, we've got to finish the scripture, hold on to the scripture is understood and then walked out, lived out by us. See, when you look at the Hebrew boys that were in the fiery furnace, they didn't try to get out the furnace. The account that I read is that when they threw them in, the people that threw them in died trying to throw them in. Now, if that had been an unrenewed mind that I was functioning in before, I would have at least left out of the door when they died at the door trying to throw me in. I would have said, okay, good, this trial is over. That's not what they did. That was not the testimony that God wanted to give us for an understanding. He wanted us to be able to, having to done all, to stand in the midst of the thing. And then because they decided not to run, then the king said that he saw four men walking around in the fire loosed. See, God was able to get, wow, look at this. God was able to get a word through the king that the king never thought he would participate in. The king said, there is no other God like this God that can save after this way. He said, there ain't no other God like that. Anybody else that does not worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, y'all the one in trouble. See, that's enduring until the end. That's having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. See, how can God release the glory that he wants to release if you're not in the place that he wants you to be in, having done all to stand? You want to pack it up, cave in, and quit. I've been waiting long enough, God. He said, he that endureth to the end. That's the one that's going to be saved. That's the one that's going to be delivered. He's not trying to test you to see if you will stand. He's giving you the ability. Please hear this. He's not trying to test you to see if you will stand. He's giving you the ability to stand. He's giving you the opportunity to give glory to God, to give unto the Lord the glory that's due his name. See? It's just a different heart's position that he's looking for. Jesus didn't run when it was time for him to go through the roughest thing that had ever happened to man. See, he didn't run. He said things like, but for this hour came I into the world. Not my will, but your will be done. See? And he knew, he had already stated to them, I could call down 12 legions of angels and straighten this whole thing out in the flesh. But then the will of God can't be done, can't be seen, cannot be understood. Arm yourself with this mind, the Bible says. See? Arm yourself with the mind that says, God will not leave me. He will not forsake me. He will not fail me, even though I don't understand. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. See? These are the things that must be reflected in our life because they are positioned correctly in our heart. But a lot of times we are of a mindset that when things get tough, we got to move where the thing is easy. Because after all, you know, Jesus said we would have rest. See? But the rest that he was speaking of was rest and confidence that whatever you face, God is able to deliver. See, that's what they said. They said, oh, no, O king, we won't bow down and worship because our God is able to deliver. But know this. If he don't, we still not going to bow down. I mean, do we have that kind of conviction from the word of God, in the spirit of God? Do we have that? Because he is looking for that. It was evident that he's looking for it in the Hebrew boys because he showed up where they were supposed to be. And they did what they were supposed to do to allow him to show up, and it showed up in his fullness. Come on, y'all. He showed up in his fullness in that situation. Because when he showed up, they came walking out, and the Bible says there was not none of their clothes that was burned, and there was not the smell of fire on them. See, he showed up in his fullness. And he wants to do that in our lives so that the stench from the trial doesn't attach itself to us. So that we won't smell like cowards, quitters. We'll stand, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. See? Again, God is not requiring you to stand so that he can gloat. He's asking you to stand so that he can display his glory. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 16:9, says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth. Why, God? To show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. He wants to show himself strong. I mean, they heated the fire up 7 times hotter. And it didn't seem to make God sweat. Didn't bother God at all. You didn't hear the conversation that says, oh, boys, if they'd have just did 4 times stronger, hotter, I would have been able to deliver you. But they did 7 times hotter, boys. You're on your own. God didn't say that. Because he knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. See? He doesn't care what the devil sets up. If he's the one that promised no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, he means no weapon that is formed shall prosper. See? We've got to go into the scripture and live there. Abide there. See? He's not asking us to visit there. He's asking us to live there. See, when we look unto him, then we have a greater expectation. We know that it doesn't matter what the enemy sets up. Even though he meant it for evil, we know the end of the story is God will turn it for good. He's the one that said all things, not some things, all things. They're going to have to work together for the good of them that love God, for the good of those that are the called according to his purpose. He didn't say, and we think all things. He didn't say, and we hope all things. He said, and we know all things work together for the good. We're supposed to be invited into the place where we can resist the devil and see him flee. So that means that I can't just gauge the love of God by what I'm going through. And if I'm going to gauge the love of God by what I'm going through, please go through it. Don't stop in the middle and then try to gauge God because of what you're going through. Amen. See, a lot of times that's what we would do. We would think that it's unfair that we have to go through that. Well, if you're going to hinge an understanding of the love of God on what you're going through, don't stop in the middle. It was a song, if you're going through hell, don't catch it. If you're going through hell, don't catch it. If you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. See? That means that don't get halfway through the thing. People have made this analogy. It's a pretty good analogy, that there was a man that was in a trial, and the trial was that he was trying to swim across the lake. And halfway across the lake, he got tired, turned around, and swam back to the side he just left. Please understand, the man turned around halfway across the lake. So if he would have continued to swim in the direction that he was going, since he was already halfway through, he could have made it to the other side. But we think crazy sometimes. We look at it and say, it's not fair, but you've already resisted the devil. Now watch him flee. Don't stop halfway through the thing. Glory to God. Don't resist the devil for an hour and then spend the hour complaining about your ability to resist. See? Don't stop halfway through. Go on until the end. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. See, again, he's not tempting you so that he can see how much you're going to do. He's allowing the glory to be revealed to you as you continue in the process. He who has begun a good work will perform it until the day of Christ. He's not going to quit on you. He does not do that. Even though we quit on him, the Bible says he yet abideth faithful. He's still there to deliver. His hand has not waxed short that he cannot deliver. But if you're not going to stand in the place of a commanded blessing, because he said he'll never leave you or forsake you, therefore, you will boldly be able to say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. See, these are the attitudes that God is looking for to be developed in sons. Glory to God. To those that believed in him, he gave them the power to become sons. To as many as received him, not to as many as gave up on him. Amen. He's already given you the measure of faith. See, we were created to live by the inspired image of God. So that means we're going to have to look unto him, have expectation of him. And it's a good thing about expectation. Expectation does not come with the expiration date. Glory to God. Come on, y'all, write that one down. Expectation does not come with an expiration date. See, so I don't know why we think that if it doesn't happen by this date at this time, then that promise is not effective. No, he's watching over his word to perform it. He will not alter the thing that has come out of his mouth. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? See, he's not giving up on his word. There is no promise that came with an expiration date. He says things like, today, if you will hear his voice. Doesn't come with an expiration date. It has the ability to sustain you and the promise till the promise is made manifest. The Bible says that in Luke, I think it's chapter 5, verse 17, it says that, and the power of the word was present to heal. Jesus was there talking to him, and everybody that was there could have got healed because he sent the word to heal and to deliver. It says the power of the word was present to heal, but he could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. They gave up on the promise. They gave up on the promise maker. So they could not enjoy the peace that the promise brought. See? We're going to have to learn to look unto him. Because that's what it says. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. You know, the promise flows best when there are no hindrances between you and manifestation. If you're going to have a weight in between you and manifestation, then you're not believing the cloud of witnesses there. He surrounded you with the devil is surrounding you with lies. He's surrounding you with fear, false expectations appearing real. And if you will give up the testimony of those that have already gone before you, they've already walked this out in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. They've already seen we have a better promises, based on better covenant, based on better promises. See? They've already walked it out. They purposed that they were not going to give up on God, even though it sometimes cost them their life. They wanted to believe him that had promised. And they wanted to believe him as that had promised as faithful. So, come on, let's just back up just a little bit so that you can see Hebrews chapter 11 as it leads you into chapter 12. Starting at verse 13. Mm-hmm, there we go. Thank you, sir. It says about this is the one that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand. Okay? So then they began to understand, process through faith rather than process through emotional response. Verse 13 of the chapter that said faith is the substance of those things that are hoped for. It says these all died in faith. They died how? They died in faith. And it says they died in faith, not receiving the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them. They embraced them. It didn't say they were persuaded that the situation was winning. It didn't say that they embraced the frustration. It said they were persuaded of the promises that they had not yet received. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They were on the other side of Calvary, and they still reached toward Calvary for their life to be completed. We are living on this side of Calvary, and we won't even go back to where Calvary established righteousness for us. They hadn't seen Calvary, and they reached unto. We've already experienced Calvary, and we won't even reach back to. We won't start at zero. We start from the place of whatever the frustration is, whatever the lie the devil is saying, whatever the fear is. Because Jesus, in our hearing, has already said, it is finished. And it says, they saw these promises afar off. But we have a very present help in the time of trouble. They saw the promises from afar off. I mean, it's the same position, but better information. They might not know how God was going to do what he said. We're on this side having experienced that he's already translated us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We've already had that experience. We've had that exchange. And yet we won't hold on to the promise until the end, until the day star arises in our heart, because we have a more sure word of prophecy that we would do well that we take heed to it. See, it says they seen them afar off. They were still persuaded of them. Wow, they still embraced them. Notice he put a them there. They embraced multiple promises to get to their expected end, if you would. You know, sometimes we don't even take the time to have multiple promises to stand on. A stand, as we understand it, a stand requires two legs, two positions of contact. Come on, y'all. That's why God gave you two legs, because he wanted you to have two positions of contact in the spirit. Amen. So that if the devil is messing with you, you have the balance of the two. Let every word be established in the mouth of two, in the place of balance, in the place of witness. That's what the two represents. It means the place of witness. The number three is the place of divine witness. Okay? So it says here that they embraced them. They were persuaded of them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. They said, it doesn't matter what happens here, because here I am just visiting. Oh, we have the ability to cause those things, to call those things that be not as though they were, and cause things to be at a better position for our heart and lifestyle. Got that. But they who were looking afar off said, I'm not going to give up on it. And we who have the ability to look back at history and see that he's already done it, why is it that we give up and they endured? They were persuaded by them. And look at what happens in verse 14. For they that say such things make declarations. They that say that we are not here to get everything we want here, we are simply a stranger. We are simply a pilgrim. We are simply passing through. Everything that we do should be done in preparation for that which is eternal. I'm not going to trade in my eternal for a temporary. I'm just passing through. Because I'm not supposed to look at the things which are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change. But the things that are not seen are eternal, deathless, and everlasting. See? People that speak this way, people that say such things. Notice he didn't say people that said such things. He said people that say. That's an active tense of the word. He said people that say things like that. They declare stuff. See? They allow their confession to bring into possession the will of God. Amen. They allow their confession to bring into possession the will of God. They stop saying the wrong thing, hoping for the right thing. They say what the word says, and they will get what the word says, because they that say such things declare that they seek a country. And verse 15 says, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from which they came out, they might have opportunity to return. So if you're going to be mindful of the things that the devil's going to tell you, the lies and the fear, then you're going to return to the land of bondage as opposed to being in the land of blessing. Because if you are going to be mindful of those things, you will, according to this scripture, come on, let's look at it again. If you are mindful of those things, of that country, the things that they came out of, then you're going to have opportunity to return. You can almost look at it and say, you know what the expectation is, because that expectation is going to be your destination. Amen. That's why he says, looking unto Jesus. See? Verse 16, but now they have a desire, a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Come on. Are we doing things in our life with the heart position that we call faith that actually makes God ashamed to be our God? Wow. Come on, y'all. I didn't write this in there. Wasn't even looking for this, but there it is. It says, they made declarations. They speak in a way that caused declarations to be plain. They don't speak in ambiguous terms here. They allow the expectation of the word to be their destination. And because of that, God's not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared for them a city. These people in verse 25 said that they chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, they didn't give up eternity for a season. They chose rather. Come on, y'all. Come on. It says that was an option that they ignored. They chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There was an option that the Hebrew boys could have just said, you know what, we just going to deny God. But they said, no. Know this, O king. Our God is able to deliver, but if he don't, we still ain't going to bow down. We will choose to suffer rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I have come to understand that the devil only gives you, at best, a season. That means it's going to be short-lived. God is offering at a limited, if you're going to bring it down to just limited, he said that he would give you years of pleasure. That's a better temporary situation than the devil is offering you for just a season. I mean, when you think about it, God is going to, in this life, he's going to show you his salvation in this life and then give you eternity to enjoy it. Oh, come on. I said that the way it sounded so good. He's going to show you, he's going to show you the pleasures for this life and then give you eternity to it with long life. With long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. Did you get that? He has both of them. You can enjoy, not just for a season, long life. And then you will enter into eternity to understand and enjoy. I mean, come on, y'all. The deal is just too great to pass up. See? These are the people that know his name. He will satisfy him. Psalms 91. Satisfy him. I love that because that tells me that the duration is actually left up to me as opposed to the devil only giving me a season. He said he would satisfy me. So I ask you a question. Who has the last say-so over my satisfaction? Is it not me? Looking at the scripture, he said he will satisfy him. Amen. He put it back, the onus back on us, didn't he? Delight myself in the Lord, and he shall give me the desires of my heart. I'm the one that then gets to hear what God has as a desire for me. And there's no problem for him to give it to me. It was his desire for me. He gave me the revelation of the desire so that I can enjoy it, so that I can bring it forth. See? He said he would satisfy me with long life. So if I have not come to the understanding of the satisfaction that God provides, he just lets it continue. Because, first of all, I'm going to have long life, if you would, for the trial, the testing of the thing. And then he's going to show me his salvation. Says that we chose, rather, to suffer. See, did not say we were made to. I'm only reading scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. It says it was a choice. Do you not remember Deuteronomy chapter 28? It says, this one's going to be in chapter 30. It says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose. If you hearken diligently, that's 28, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. He said these blessings will come upon you and they will overtake you. You will say, enough, God, I have been overtaken by blessing. Come on, y'all. He's leaving it up to you. It's conditional on your, it's provisional, I'll say it that way. It's provisional on your obedience. It's not conditional in the regard that it's already been set there. Okay? He's not going to set it there. That would make it conditional. Okay? That would be an after the fact. He put it there prior. Okay, so then we hear it again. This is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. That's not today. That was the day that he was speaking of then. That would be this day. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, you choose. So from that day to this, that has already been activated. Is that correct? That's not conditional. That is provisional. See, he's not waiting till you do it, then set it up. That would be conditional. He's already finished that. It's already in play. My job is to activate what he's already done. Walk in the finished work. See, it is provisional, but it is not conditional. Okay? Because if you make it conditional and you don't execute the things to bring it to pass, you're going to look at God as if he didn't do what he promised. It's already been provided. Okay? Let's just try to walk in it that way. He's already finished it. He hath, past tense, given unto us all things that pertain to life and bless and godliness. Hath. Didn't say he would. If he would, that would make the whole exchange conditional, wouldn't it? That would be like, well, if he wants to, he's already proved that he won't to, he's given it to us. Past tense. He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? That is active present tense. He's already given up his son. So now that promise becomes provisional, not conditional. Big difference in our thinking. See? He's already done this. Okay, let's investigate this for a second. If God had to make breath for you to breathe every time, that would be breath that would be conditional, wouldn't it? But no one in our experience thinks about breath as a conditional experience. It is a provisional experience. And then he makes a requirement after he's already given you the breath, let everything that hath breath. He did not say let everything that finds breath. That would have made it conditional. He said let everything that hath breath. That makes it provisional. Okay? See, God approaches things from a different perspective, and it would do us good to understand how he thinks. See? Because as I understand how he thinks, I can enter into that as my position of thought and enjoy that as my provision. His position of thought gives me my provision. I'm hoping that you're walking with me in this. See? Because then I'm not waiting on God to do a thing. As I wait on God to do it, it sets up in my mind conditional understanding. Okay? And he's the one that said he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. He didn't say he will not. Okay, come on, y'all. We say these things and we kind of maybe think backwards. He said he will not withhold it, which means it's already queued up for you to get. Is that correct?
Try it this way. All of the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen. That does not make it conditional, does it? They are already yes. They are already so be it. That makes it provisional. I mean, I'm trying to drive this home so that we can get it, so that we can stop letting the devil convince us that God doesn't love us because we're basing it on a condition. When he took the condition out and said, for God so loved. Come on now, y'all. It didn't say for God wants to love. That would have been conditional, wouldn't it? He said, for God already do this. He already loves. That makes it provisional. They chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But then you go on and you will see that in verse 39, it says that these, the hall of faith, all of these people, and he goes through here and gives you a litany of all of the people that stood in faith and that they endured all kind of things, but because they were persuaded of the promises, because they saw the promises afar off, they embraced the promises. Then it says in verse 39, all of these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, because of all of this information that he just gave you in chapter 11, see, that he just equipped you to be able to stand against everything the devil is going to push your way. Wherefore, because of this, wherefore seeing. So he's asking your sight to be based on this, not on your inability or excuse of not having it made manifest. He says, look this way. Wherefore, because of this, see. Okay? He doesn't want you to be blind. He doesn't want you to be blinded. He doesn't want you to be confused. He wants you to think and look on purpose, into purpose, so that purpose can bring destiny into your life. Wherefore, seeing. Because of this, see, that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. He's the author and developer of our faith. He doesn't just author something and leave you out there to just be willy-nilly. He says he authors it and develops it to the point where it can accomplish what he sent it forth to do. Okay? And he said that Jesus finished this. Come on, y'all. He wrote it and finished it even though he had to endure the cross. Wow. So then I would ask a couple of questions, that if Jesus has already endured the suffering that would release our blessing, why am I still trying to suffer to get to the blessing? You know, he said, okay, watch it. He's going to say it right here. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. Verse 3. Four, please do this. Consider him. He didn't ask you to consider you. He didn't ask you to consider your circumstances. Because you have a great cloud of witnesses, he said, see from that perspective and consider him. That endures such a contradiction of sinners against himself. And if you don't do this, this is what will happen. You will be wearied and you will faint in your minds. If you don't consider him, you're going to become weary and you're going to faint in your mind. If you don't look at things from the position of all of those who embrace the promises, who looked at the promises from a distance and still continued to move, you're going to give up, you're going to cave in, you're going to quit. You're going to return to the place that you left. Consider him. If you don't, you will be weary. You will faint in your mind because you have not resisted against blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as unto children. See, God's not dealing with you like he's mad at you. He needs for you to have your expectation in him. See? Where you get your information from determines your destiny. Where you get your information determines your destiny. If it's the spirit of truth or if it's the spirit of error, where you get your information from determines your destiny. If you're going to believe the lie, wow. If you're going to believe the lie, you're going to live the lie. Amen. See? If you believe a lying spirit that speaks to your flesh and makes your flesh do things, then you must know that your flesh is weak and your flesh cannot sustain a holy lifestyle. It was never meant to. Your flesh was never meant to sustain a holy lifestyle. If you're going to get your information from the flesh, of the flesh, by the flesh, then you're going to have to live in the place of where you received your information. Where you get your information from determines your destiny. Right? If you're going to get it from the Spirit, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See? Wherever you get your information from. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will cause freedom. So then if you, contrary to that, or the converse of that would be, if you're going to know a lie, then the lie will put you in bondage. Want to or not, that's what's going to happen. If truth causes freedom, the lie will cause bondage every time, all the time. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not come so you can have a good time. So he's going to take the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's going to have your understanding darkened. And if you get your information from the understanding that's darkened, you're going to have to live in that darkness, because where you get your information determines where you go, how you go. Your destiny is done by that. See? So he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See? Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against, I'm just quoting Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. So the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, then you're not going to be under the law, under the place of bondage, under arrest, if you will. See, God wants you to know truth, and truth causes you to have liberty, causes you to be free. It says it makes you free. Glory to God. I love that. So even if I don't understand freedom, the truth will do what? It will make me free. Amen. Or it doesn't stop working until my freedom is achieved. Amen. Now, I can stop working it, but it does not stop working because I stop working it. Again, let everything that have breath praise. He didn't have to make new air. He made the air. If you choose to stop breathing, hold your breath, the air is still there. See? So it's not about just, will God give me something? He's already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Our job is to participate in that which he's already done. You have to embrace the promises. Continue to look at the promises. So this is where we get our expectation from. Our hope should be in the Lord. I'm not hoping. If I put my confidence in man, then the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 and following, it says, cursed is the man that trusts in man, who puts his confidence there. This man is not going to be able to see good when it comes. See, so then if I'm going to say that the conditions of my life are so hard and so bad that I've got to try to let some man help me out, then I'm going to be cursed, he said. I'm going to be empowered to fail. The word blessed means empowered to prosper. So conversely, cursing would be empowered to fail. So if I'm going to put my trust in man, I just cursed myself and failure is imminent. Cursed is the man that trusts in man. I'll even help you out with that. If I trust in me, I'm still trusting in man. Amen. Well, I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. You and your bootstraps have just been cursed. And as you are trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, I will also let you know that that would put you in the best position for failure. Because in order to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you would have to lean over. And every time before a fall comes a lean. That's why he told us, lean not to our own understanding. Okay? Find a word. Walk in the word. Live in the word. Because he's upholding all things by the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, in times past, spoke unto the fathers in times past by the prophets, hath in these last days, that's the day, spoken to us by his Son, by his word, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. See, he's making everything work by the word of his power. So why would you put yourself in the position to believe the lie that the devil is saying, putting your trust in man and condemning yourself to failure when he said he is upholding all things by the word of his power? See, we just got to get to the place where we want to live our greater life, and that greater life is found in God. We were created, designed to live in the creative power of the inspired image of God. We're created for that. See, and as we do that, then we position ourselves again to win. We position ourselves to receive the strength. We position ourselves to release the glory. And we have this glory. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, he's given unto you the measure of faith. He's not going to give it to you after the trial starts. He's already given unto you the measure of faith. See, what we might not understand is we might not possess the wisdom in our spirit to know how to function in it. But it's okay. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraid him not. But let him ask in faith, no wavering. For he that waveth is like the waves of the sea tossed to and fro. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, we've got to go back and say, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to do what you have given me instruction to do. Because with instruction comes
With instructions comes inspiration. Glory to God. With instructions comes inspiration, the ability to have revelation that will show me how to do what was just told me. And remember, Jesus said, upon the rock of revelation, the gates of hell shall not prevail. The devil can't stop this. But if I'm going to start trusting in self, trusting in man, then I've just caused myself to be cursed. And I'm going to end up in destruction. I've been empowered to fail. Jesus took the word, lived the word, looked at the word. Turn to John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Jesus was saying things, and as Jesus said things, see, we've got to learn to listen at him, because through the listening comes clarification. First we get expectation, but now we have to have clarification. We're going to have to know what it was he said, what it was he meant. And Jesus was teaching his disciples all the time how this process works. Verse 19, chapter 5 says, then Jesus answered and said unto them, talking to his disciples, the Son, verily, truly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. How many things? Nothing. But that which he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Then he says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that you might marvel. He says, I don't do nothing, anything of myself. Boy, we need to know that, believe that, say that. And stop trying to just make stuff work and find a way to believe and understand what he said. Believe and understand what he shows you, because here's what he said, the Son cannot do anything of himself but what he sees the Father do. Oh, that's so powerful. So then if you don't, we'll throw this out there like that, if you don't know what he said, ask him what he's doing. Amen. Jesus only did what he saw the Father do, because he expected that the Father who loved him will show him all things. Amen. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's job is, to take the things of the Father and show them unto you. Jesus said in John 17, he said, the Father loves you just like he loves me. So that what he's telling us is to operate in that love. Have confidence in that love. Because that love, once you have the revelation of the Father loves you, now he can show you. Come on, y'all. Jesus connected it. I didn't. He says, verse 20, because the Father loves the Son, revelation happens. He shows him all things that he does. The reason that the revelation comes, according to what Jesus just said, the reason that the revelation comes, the reason that the understanding comes, is not because you begged for it. It was because God loves you. He has set his love upon him. With long life, he will satisfy him. Because he's known my name. I'm just quoting Psalms 91, verse 13 and following. Because I abide in the secret place. Now I'm going to take it up to verse 1. Because I abide in the secret place of the under the shadow of the Most High. Then he's going to make sure that my conversation changes. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my strength. See? So now by the time I get down to verse 13, surely he will show me the things that I need to do. He's going to show me his salvation. because I've known his name, because he set his love upon me. All I'm doing now is activating the word of God that has been spoken. That's all I'm simply doing. I'm inviting you into the place where activation brings you into destiny. Because in him we move. Yeah, well, first of all, he said you had to live there. Glory to God. He didn't say visit there. He said live there. Then you can move from that place. Then you can have, then you will have the invitation that is executed so that you can have your being. In him you live, in him you move. Because you live and move in him, now you can have your being. Glory to God. It's his honor now to give you what you need to have, because you can have your being because you live and move in him. See, what we've tried to do is we tried to visit every once in a while. Live like hell and expect heaven. Yeah, that's the way you say that. Because when you rebel against God, when you rebel against his word, you are living like hell expecting heaven. God says, owe no man anything but to love him, but he you won't forgive. So you're living like hell expecting heaven. Oh, we need to cut that out. See? You're walking around judging and accusing people. That's living like hell. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. So I don't know how we expect to live like hell and expect heaven to do something. See, that just doesn't make any sense. That's why he says things like, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. If you love me, keep my commandments. See? So that I can't be walking around judging people, talking about people, hating people. How can I participate in racism or the lines that make up racism? Because if it benefits me because I'm black and now it's all about the black thing, I'm still practicing racism. Oh, no man anything but to love him. He didn't say, oh, black men. See, so then if I have the faith of God with respect of persons, I'm living like hell, expecting heaven to respond. God's not double-minded. He's not schizophrenic just because we want to be. Just because society says that's the way it's going to be, because you got to take self-preservation is the law and the rule of the day. No. In him I live. Why am I trying to preserve myself if I live in him? Again, if I don't live in him, if I don't move in him, I cannot have my being. They're all connected. Because the Holy Ghost wants me to enjoy the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I can't live like hell and expect the Holy Ghost to invite me into the righteousness, peace, and God, which causes the kingdom to work in my life. Love causes the revelation to happen, because the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. And then Jesus invited us into the greater works. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. Well, if I'm going to, come on, y'all, let's put the scripture together. If I'm going to do the also works that he said I'm supposed to do, then he said that the reason that these things are going to happen is because I have a revelation of the Father that loves me, and he shows me what he's doing. Come on now. I mean, that's just tying it together. That's line upon line, precept upon precept. The Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that God does. And because he shows him that, he's going to show him and invite him into the greater works. And then Jesus said, you will do greater works than these. So that tells me that the Father's love for me is going to have to be understood. Otherwise, he can't show me what he's doing, because the revelation comes out of the love. Amen. How readest thou? And then in John chapter 8, verses 28 through 38, Jesus reiterates these things. Jesus kept saying the same things over and over and over to his disciples so that they would begin to grasp it and process it so they can utilize it. He didn't ask us to remember it, beloved. He said, study the scripture, not just memorize the scripture. Amen. Study them. Find out the why the thing is being said. Find out the how do I execute what was said. Study it. See? And then when I study it, he said, I will then be a workman that does not need to be ashamed. I will rightly divide the word of truth. Okay? So this was not for a pat myself on the back kind of a thing. See? This was so that I could accomplish the will of God. John chapter 8, verse 28. Jesus says it to them another way. Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he. You shall know a couple things. Look at this. He says, when you've lifted up, when you put me on the cross, you're going to understand some things. You're going to understand, first of all, that I am he. And second, you're going to find out that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father has taught me, that's what I speak. See? So Jesus is still getting us to understand that it was not my knowledge, it was not my inertia that got it done. It was the thing that God wanted to get done, and God showed me, and God taught me, and God spoke to me. He says, when I get that revelation and operate in it, then I speak. See? It's not me doing anything of myself. And then he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Why? Because I do what I see him do. I say what I hear him say. I do those things that please him. It pleased him to tell me what to do because he was doing. It pleased him to show me what he's doing so I can do it. I always do the things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed on him. And then Jesus said to those which believed. So now he just brought another component in here. While he was speaking the words that God told him to speak, people believed. And as they believed, he continued to speak. The revelation comes and flows when we believe, according to what he just said. As he spoke these words, many believed, and Jesus talked to those that believed. See? So you want to know how to execute the will of God? Believe what he tells you, and then he'll bring more revelation on top of that. Because as he spoke these words, many believed. And Jesus said to the ones that believed, if you continue in the revelation process that we got working right here, continue in my word, then are you disciplined by what you do. You are my disciples in what you do. And because you continue in the word and are disciplined by the word that you do. Come on, come on. He didn't just say you continue in the word, you are disciples of what you hear. He said you are my disciples in what you do. Indeed. That indeed does not mean yes, yes. It means in application. Okay? If you continue in my word, then my word should be working, and you should work the word, and you are disciplined in what you do.
in deed, in execution. And because you continue the process, then you shall become intimate with the truth, know the truth, and the truth that you are intimate with shall cause, make you free. It opens up the door for the ability to do more of what you heard, of what you continue in. Okay? I'm not just taking a scripture and separating it unto itself and then trying to make it my pretext. I'm trying to understand what he's wanting me to do. See? When he goes to the cross, he says, there are two things you're going to know. You're going to know that I am he, that I don't do nothing of myself, but I do what the Father taught me, and I speak the things that he says. You're going to understand this. So on the other side of the cross, we should be executing more truth than the ones that were knowing the truth from afar off, that were persuaded by them. See? We're supposed to be able to allow the Word of God to so change us on the inside that we live in there. See? That we'll be able to be intimate with the truth, know the truth, and then that truth that we are intimate with causes me to be free, makes me free, gives me the right and authority to function as Jesus did. Amen. Because Jesus was full of grace and truth, or he was full of freedom. Come on now. If I continue in the word, I'm discipled in what I do, and I will know or become intimate with the truth, and the truth shall make me free. So Jesus, being full of truth, was full of freedom. Did I miss that up? If he was full of truth, he was full of freedom. And he wants us to be full of freedom so that we can execute his will. It takes freedom to execute the will of God. It takes confidence, which abides in freedom. Because if I don't have confidence, I'm going to have doubt. And if I have doubt, I'm going to have fear. And fear has torment. The unjust man shall die in his fear. But the just live by faith. So my faith gives me the latitude of motion in that which I am free in. So then I go in and I do the things that are necessary to be done, not because I have intellectual acumen, but I have faith in God. That's what John and Peter did, because they were operating in the truth that made them free. And so they went out as a free man doing what Jesus wanted them to do. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead. And they went out as free men doing that. And they saw the man at the beautiful gate, and he was expecting to receive some. And they said, we ain't got no silver and gold, but what we do have, the freedom that we are operating in, we give it to you. Get up and walk. Rise and be healed. And immediately the man's ankle bones received strength. Why? Because they were walking around in the truth, the freedom that Jesus had given unto them. It was no, I can't get nobody healed. I don't have to get nobody healed. The truth that I am intimate with causes my freedom. And because I am free, then I can cause other people to be free. As he is, so am I in this world. See? So we were created to function in the inspired image of God. So we get expectation by looking unto him. We get clarification by listening unto him. Proverbs chapter 4. verses 20 to 23, and it says, "My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life." See, I'm getting my clarification by attending to his word, by inclining my ear unto what he says. I don't have to listen to all of the naysayers. I incline my ear to what he said. I only do what I hear the Father say. I only see what I say. I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. See? We're invited into this same place. Don't let it depart from thine eyes. Keep these words, keep these sayings in the midst of your heart, because they are life to those that find them and help to all their flesh. Glory to God. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of that kept heart are the issues of life. So then, if my heart is unkept, I'm going to have conditions of life rather than issues of life. A kept heart with diligence releases issues of life, releases starting flow instead of conditions that are contaminated. See? They are health to those that find them. They're life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. See? Study that out. And he says that when you do this, don't go to the left or to the right. Walk straight down the middle of this thing. Don't be deviating. Don't be pushed aside over here, over there. Attend to his words. Proverbs chapter 22. Lord. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17. To the end of the chapter. And I'm going to open this up, but I can't finish it at the time. But I just want you to see what he's asking us to do here. See, you're created for this. He says in verse 17, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted into thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I've made known unto thee this day, even unto thee, have I not written excellent things in counsel and knowledge, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mayest answer the words of truth to them that I send to thee? Rob not the poor, because he's poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause, and spoil the soul of them that spoil them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest you learn his ways and he get a snare to thy soul. Be not one of them to strike hands or one of the sureties for debts. If you got nothing to pay, why should you take your bread from underneath thee? Remove not the ancient landmarks which your fathers had set. Seest thou a diligent man in his business? He shall stand before kings and not stand before mere mean men." He says, if I can get you to listen to me, if I can get you to bow down to the words of the wise and apply your heart to it, I will stop you from being in front of mean men. And one of the translations for the words mean men means bill collectors. I'll take all of the things that you've been worried about and remove them from you. I'll give you supply because I give you revelation. I'll give you supply because I give you destination. He says, bow down your ear. Apply your heart. See, you should keep them in the midst of it. He just told us to keep them in the midst because they're life, they're health. He knows you're in a situation that doesn't look right, that doesn't work right. He said, but if I can get you to listen to my word, pay attention to my word, then they will heal your flesh. They will give you what you're missing. They are life to those that find them. But the choice is yours. Your way
or God's way? Minutes, seasons, or long life and eternity? God's waiting on you today. Which way will you choose? Father, we just thank you for your word. The word that you sent to us to heal us and to deliver us from all of our fears and destructions. A word that is able to cause us to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus, to be built up and receive an inheritance among them that are sanctified. A word that would cause us to be able to come out of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. A word that causes us to enjoy victory instead of endure troubles, trials, and tribulations. Thank you, Father, that we've made a choice to listen to you, to hearken unto you, to hide your word in our hearts that causes us not to miss our portion, not to sin against you. Strengthen us with might, Father God, in the inner man, so that we can walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Thank you, Father, that as we do this, we will bring glory to your name. We will cause honor to be displayed. We are the ones that have a breath, and we will praise. So thank you, Father, that as we grow up correctly in you, that we are able to then experience victory by your word, by your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, you can take the time to ask them, and we'll give you an opportunity to do that. Area code 678-373-9688. Area code 678-373-9688. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Area code 678-373-9688. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? Amen. Well, area code 817-919-1557. You have the mic. Area code 817-919-1557. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Amen. Well, again, we say that we thank you for being a part of the ministry. And if the Lord has been a blessing to you, and he lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, please go ahead and do that. That's the way that we're able to stay on the air and bring to you the things that God wants to see in the earth in these days. So I'll just go ahead and pray and seek God, because it says that if I give you of the spiritual things, then it is not a small thing that you should give of your carnal things. So sow and see, as the word has been given to you, that God will not honor his word and bring to you the promise that he's made. As you give, it shall be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Men will give unto your bosom. And it's not just financial. They will give life, because you participated in the giving. That's a live thing that we should do. And so, again, until the next time that we get together and share the uncompromising word of God that causes us to grow, I thank you for being here and participating. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Until the next time that we see you, amen. Love you and be blessed.